All right, grab your Bibles. I'm in Leviticus chapter 9, and we're studying about going to worship. And so in chapter 8, 9, and 10, the focus shifts from the sacrifice to the priesthood. And as we saw last week, God set apart the priest, Aaron and his sons, were set apart to serve him. Here in chapter 9, they start serving him. This is the inauguration of the priesthood, and we're made for worship, and it's a beautiful picture here in the book of Leviticus. You know, if you go over to 1 Peter sometime, you could write this in the margin of your Bible if you wanted to, but we're going to be in Leviticus 9. But over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, Peter, of course, writing to all the Christians that had been spread out. They had been spread out because of persecution and other things, but as he writes to them, he reminds them, you know, we come to the Lord who as a living stone that was rejected by men. He's the cornerstone for us, amen. But we are living stones. We're built up as a spiritual house. The picture is of a place of worship, a house of worship. That's me, that's you. It's plural there. Now don't look at your brother and say, you got a rock head, okay? That's not, okay, as living stones, all right? You know, don't say you're dumb as a rock. Okay, please don't do any, okay? All right? He says, you're a stone, and I'm a stone, and we're built one on another, and there's one cornerstone for all of us, Jesus, okay? He's what keeps us in place, okay? But we're built for worship. Individually and corporately. In fact, he would say even there that we're built up not only as a spiritual house, but we're a royal or a holy priesthood. All right? That's as believers. You and I, we're part of a kingdom of priests. And that's not so we can do our own thing in our own little house of worship. The emphasis is on the corporate nature of that. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord frequently. It's good to be ministering in the house of the Lord, one unto another, all right? That's how God designed it, all right? And so that's his intent. And then he says that we would offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Why through him? Well, he's the high priest, okay? And we offer when we gather our lives, the things we do in church should be the idea you and I should have is influenced by what we're reading over here in Leviticus. When we're talking about sacrifices that are acceptable to the Lord, when we're talking about a priesthood appointed, set apart, consecrated, given essential role that they're supposed to play. Of course, remember, there's only one high priest. Amen? That's what we're going to discover as we're going through the book of Hebrews. There's one that is our go-between. But these are all pictured, and the sacrifices, the priesthood, the building. We've already walked through the building in the book of Exodus. All these things, that's the context behind what Peter's writing. So if you really want to understand what Peter is saying as believers of how we're supposed to worship God and what should be taking place in the household of God and how we should approach him in a particular way and the role that we play, this is the backdrop. All Jesus fulfilled all these things and then made them possible for you and me in a new covenant, which gave the fullest expression of all of them. And so we learn from these things. And so even tonight, as we read this section in Leviticus chapter 8, our thoughts should be, okay, we're a household of faith. We're a royal priesthood. We're offering up sacrifices. So as the Lord speaks through this, Lord, what are you saying to us? How does Jesus fulfill this? How do we play our part in this? So what's fascinating to me is this is where they meet with God. I mean, this is, the house has been built. Everything's been prepared. I mean, he not only gave them all the instructions, he said, gather all the resources, right? And they willingly, freely gave whatever it took to build this house of worship. And we went through Exodus and we saw all that. And all the things that he enriched them with when they left their bondage in Egypt, that they realized that belongs to him, and they gave freely. They gave so much, they told him, stop giving. And man, I'd love for that as a preacher, be able to say, hey, y'all stop giving. Amen. But that's what they did. They just realized. And this is all for the house of the Lord, for the service of the Lord. We've seen the sacrifices, chapter 1 through 7, the five particular sacrifices that were prescribed and described there that God's people were supposed to offer. You'll see here, as they initiate worship, they offer up these sacrifices, the sin offering, the burnt offering, the grain offering. They offer up these offerings, listen, not just for the people, but also for the priests. And that's essential to understand when you think about how Jesus fulfills the priesthood and how he fulfills those offerings and the sacrifices in one moment. Not over and over and over again. Praise God. We have a fuller understanding of it. And then not just the elements that are there, the sacrifices there, but the priesthood and the things that they do. Everything that was necessary for preparation has now come to pass. It says in verse 1, it came to pass on the eighth day. In other words, Aaron and the sons, they were set apart and consecrated, and they were given the charge to stay there in the tabernacle. And God had provided for them an offering, and they were fed and nourished there. But they were charged, back up in verse 35 of chapter 8, to stay there 7 days and keep the charge of the Lord. I underlined that in my Bible, all right? For 7 days after they were consecrated, set apart, anointed, blessed, the sacrifice was offered in their place. The blood was placed on their ear, on their big toe, on their thumb, a representation of all that they would hear, all that they would do, all everywhere they would go, that they would be anointed for the Lord and yielded to him. And so now it's the eighth day. So what happens? Moses is instructed, listen, call Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said to Aaron, hey, take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish and offer them before the Lord. And to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a kid of the goats as a sin offering and a calf and a lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering. And also, notice, a bull and a ram as a peace offering to sacrifice before the Lord. And a grain offering mixed with all oil. For today, I love this part, I underline it in my Bible, the Lord will appear to you. Now, isn't that why we go to church? To meet with him. That's why we gather. We're not coming for one another, y'all. I love you, but I'm not coming for you. We're coming for him, amen? Hey, listen, if we have a guest preacher or something, we ain't coming for a guest preacher. We're coming for the Lord. Amen? You gather for... Remember, the priests were appointed and set apart not to serve the people. They ministered to me, God said. My responsibility ultimately is to him. That's why Paul would say in Galatians chapter 1, listen, if I seek to be a pleaser of men, if we seek to be pleaser of men, we'll be a pleaser of none of them. We should be pleasers of God. And that's what worship is. There is an audience of one when we gather. And we need to be reminded of that. Set them apart. Get the offering ready. He's already prescribed that offering. He's detailed how it's to be presented. The offering, you notice, it was for Aaron and his sons, the priesthood, but also for the people. A peace offering, a grain offering. All those offerings now that he had prescribed earlier in five chapters of the opening of Leviticus, now they're going to offer them. And the promise is, listen, do you realize, you know what, when you do things God's way, according to the way he's described, the way he's commanded, which he'll say over and over and over again, as the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded, as Moses told you, and the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded. I mean, I underlined it here in verse 5, verse 7, verse 9, all the way down, as the Lord commanded, as... Listen, God tells us how to meet him, how to worship him, how to approach him. We don't get to make that up our own way. Well, this is what I want to do. Uh-uh. No, no. Worship is not about us, it's about him. Too many churches make it about man. They make it about what makes me feel good, what I think is right. It doesn't matter what you and I think. It's about what God says. As the Lord commanded. And God has commanded and prescribed a particular way that we are to approach him. And they did. They built what God said. They gathered the resources of what God said they needed. They consecrated Aaron and the sons as God said. They bring the sacrifices and offers out in offerings as God said. Everything is prepared and ready now so that God's people can come into God's presence And God can meet with them. But he prepared them not just here in the wilderness. He's prepared them even in the way he delivered them. They'd seen some amazing things. They had seen the plagues, 10 of them, right? And God freed them from their bondage. They had cried out for years and years and years, and he came. He sent Moses as a deliverer to lead them. Ultimately, God was deliverer, but he worked through Moses. They'd seen him, make a way where there was no way, through a Red Sea. He prepared them, that he defeated their enemies behind them in the water. He prepared them because he provided food and water in the wilderness where there wasn't, a McDonald's and an Arby's to get you, anything, right? He provided for them. He's provided for them they've heard the thunder, they've seen the clouds, they've seen the lightning, but now he's going to visit with them in worship. That's what we should want. When we go to the house of the Lord, I want to meet with God. So, it's time. Moses says, Aaron, get ready. Get your boys, get ready. Get the people ready. Make the offering. So they brought what Moses commanded. I underline that in verse 5. And before the tabernacle of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Now, as you go down through here, what you find is that Aaron offered the offering for the burnt offering to make atonement for himself and for the people in verse 7. So a burnt offering and a sin offering, those offerings are offered. Aaron has to offer it for himself. His sons have to offer it on their behalf because they're just like the people, right? We're all sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? There's none righteous, no, not one. They have to offer that sacrifice for themselves in order to be able to minister for the people and for God. The people, an offering is offered for them. They kill the calf, they kill the sin offering for Aaron and the sons, they kill the goat, they offer that. All these offerings are presented, the sin offering, the burnt offering, the peace offering. They're all brought, the people's offering in verse 15, and the burnt offering for them in verse 16, the grain offering, verse 17. All these things are offered so that worship can take place. And so, If worship's going to take place, we approach God the way God says, and you better have the right kind of offering. All these are without blemish. God requires it. Now stop and think about that. I mean, I've not raised cattle, I've not raised sheep, I've not raised goats. But even when you offer that, going through your flock, you know they're not all perfect, right? You get the best you've got, though, and you bring it to the Lord. And even in that, there's a recognition that he desires perfection, and this is the best I've got. But when it's brought, it says over and over again, the manner with which it's presented is the hand is lifted and laid on them. When these offerings are presented, over in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, when the offering, the sin offering, the burnt offering, you have to identify with that offering. Aaron and his sons, the people, why do they identify? Why do they lay their hand on it? It's a recognition. The wages of sin is death. This is what God requires. Now, as we know, the blood of bulls and goats can't take away sin. This is temporary until the perfect lamb would come. Amen? This is the beauty of Jesus. He's come. As John the Baptist would say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Praise God. That offering has come. And that offering, according to the book of Hebrews, we'll discover, was offered once for all time. These sons have to do this over and over and over again. But this is an exciting time. This is the first time they've worshiped the Lord in this way, according to how he's prescribed. And here's the thing. They prepared themselves for it. They've done everything necessary. And they've submitted to the word of God and the manner with which God has says. And they have now a mediator. They're coming, and here's the high priest, here's his sons, the offering is offered up. And that priest that offers up that sacrifice, Aaron and his sons, they present the blood, they sprinkle it all around the altar, they burn the fat from the bull and the ram, the fatty tail, just as all the things that God had prescribed. Now this is critical because next week when we get to chapter 10, we'll see it didn't take long for them to corrupt the worship. How sad. When you see next week, and you stop and reflect on everything that's happened, and it was gone just like that. So they offer all this up, just as Moses as the Lord had commanded through Moses. And then it says in verse 22, Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people, he blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting, came out and blessed the people. Now that blessing, as I mentioned, you know, the Aaronic blessing is recorded there in Numbers. I mean, that's for God's favor on his people. That's for God's smile on his people. That's for God's provision for his people. That's for God's protection for his people. That's what we want. Amen. And this is what's beautiful. When he did that, I underline verse 23. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. God came and dwelt among his people. Now here's the amazing thing. God wants to dwell among his people. Jesus would say, you know, God is searching for worshipers. Those who will worship him in what? Spirit and truth, right? He's looking for people like this that want to worship him authentically, right? That want to do it spiritually, not ritual routine in the body, like authentic worship. God is looking. Listen, that means, listen, when we gather for worship, are we preparing our hearts to come to worship? Are we coming anticipating, I want to meet with God? You know, I mean, preparing our hearts begins, you know, throughout the weekend on Saturday too. So that when we come in, a lot of people don't get anything out of worship because they never prepare their heart for worship. That's essential. All right? Am I coming expecting God to speak to me? Am I coming that was the hunger and thirsting for righteousness earlier, right? Are we looking for that, anticipating that? And are we coming a way that God has prescribed in his word? You'll see next week how they didn't do that. And the consequences, the severity of that, why that's a serious thing. That they bring the sacrifices. You got to have the right sacrifice to approach the Lord. You got to have one that's acceptable to him. Now, beloved, I'm not saying don't bring your offering on Sunday. But realize what God is after is our hearts. Amen. Living sacrifices, Romans chapter 12. We're beseeched by Paul. That's what we should be presenting. Dying to self, finding life in Christ. And all that's possible because of that sacrifice he offered for us once for all time. That's how we should live. It's how we should worship him. It's how we should pursue him. And as you come, we realize, yeah, we're a priesthood. We're offering up spiritual sacrifices. They're frankly, Hebrews chapter 13, fruit of lips that say, thank you, God. You're just a gracious God. You've blessed me. By the way, that's what Peter would say earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Before he even gets, if you've tasted and seen that God is gracious, he is good. He's been good to us. We've got reason to gather, to prepare our hearts every time that we gather here to praise him, to magnify his name, and to focus on him. Not anything else but him. Well, they come, and what happens? God comes too. And he gathers. Now watch the response, and then I'm running out of time, but watch this. Look at what it says. And fire came out, consumed the burnt offering, and then the last sentence. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces, rejoicing, praise God, and reverence. Right? They celebrate. It's worth celebrating. But there's contrition. There's humility. Both are important. I know some people say, you know, we need to have powerful worship service, man. We need some shouting, some, woo, praise the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's also a, God have mercy on me. A brokenness. Is it either or? Both and. It's both and. There should be a reason, a cause for us to rejoice. And what that is not I'm with you and you're with me, but he's with us. That's what we're rejoicing in. That's how it should be in the house of God. It's not, listen, be aware. If worship is about me leading worship or another man leading the worship, you missed the whole point. It's not. It's about, you know, God, was he there? And did I acknowledge his presence? And was he the one I was looking to hear from? Because that's a heart that's ready for worship. And was it not just I shouted and praised the Lord, but did a did I do this? Right? Contrition, reverence. Remember Jesus when he talked about two men that went up to worship, the Pharisee, right? And the tax collector, the sinner. Pharisee went up, oh, aren't you glad I'm here? Aren't you glad? Look at all that I'm not like that sinner. I've given my tithe. I've prayed my prayers. I've walked in righteousness. And yet the tax collector did what Jesus said. God have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Man, the reason we can shout is because as wretched sinners, he's changed us. And made us part of his family. And we didn't deserve any of it. It's amazing. I mean, listen, if you want to meet with God in the household of God, not just individually, but when you gather corporately as we're commanded to do, 1 Peter, critical, chapter 2. Then let's gather, let's offer up sacrifices that are pleasing to him, hearts that are yielded to him, according to his word and what he prescribed. What's fascinating, I know so many people say, well, you know, the worship, the music just wasn't. There was no music here, by the way. Think about that for a minute. Woo! Now, I'm not saying we don't have worship. Okay, we do. Read the Psalms, right? We should be, you know. The Levites, they had a group that would be appointed to lead worship. It is important. But be careful. Worship ain't all about the music. It's about the disposition of the heart as it enters into the house of the Lord. And is that heart yielded to who God is and what God says and willing to surrender and yield and obey? Obedience is the fruit of love. That's the root. And man, we love him because he first loved us. Amen? Praise the Lord tonight. Father, may we have a heart for worship each day. May we long to be in the house of the Lord. May we be with those who say, it was good. It was good to go to the house of the Lord. Lord, may we invite others to come along with us and see and experience you. God, I even pray right now, Lord, I pray for this Sunday, may our heartbeat be as we drive the church and as we come, may we be prepared to worship and meet with you. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts and lead our families to prepare their hearts, Lord, may there just be an overwhelming sense of your presence. And Lord, may we be changed, made more and more into the image of our high priest, your son, Jesus, the one who's our go-between. And Lord, may we just celebrate him. We love you, we praise you, and ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.